The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Fly, fly, oh, to be a fly. Fly, fly, come and be a fly on the wall.
Hello there. Our house is a dog pound. Come on in, and we'll show you how to euthanize your fears. Get right in, Ben. Anyway, I'm your neighborhood-friendly black girl, Amber.
And I'm the gassiest man alive. I have a lot of gas.
What's your name, baby?
And my name is Ben. And we have a special guest today. Yes, we got Jessica. Tell us about yourself.
My name is Jessica, and I too am gassy. I'm on medication that has me very fearful of farting, so we don't have to worry about any of that happening for me today.
Let's say, you're so fancy that if you fart on this show, yeah, the net worth of the show will go up.
I think so.
I think my concern is more so whether or not it would actually be a fart or a situation that would end the show. So that's what the issue is.
Speaking of the show, what's the name of the show?
This shit show is called Fly on the Wallin. Now, before we jump into the show, let's be for fucking real. We're all 30 plus, right? Yeah. And we're parents. Mm. We've all either shat our pants shat somewhere we shat.
Yeah.
So I'll take a sip. I once shat in a lake. I had to. Yep. It was an emergency. Couldn't make it back.
Lake Michigan, out in Chicago.
No, and you ain't have to name the lake.
Off of Foster Avenue Beach. Have y'all been there?
Let's not.
Dip your foot in there. You've gotten microcosmic shit particles from Amber's ass. Because when you think about it, everything, every sneeze, every little particle, every skin cell, on the microscopic, cosmic, quantum level, we've all experienced each other.
Wow. Thank you for that, Ben.
That reminds me of the fact that there was an episode of My 600-Pound Life where one of the people admits to going to, like, the public 24-hour fitness jacuzzis to actually rinse off their ass because they can't reach their ass to wipe it.
Oh.
So if you also use
So they treat that as their personal, body bidet.
Body bidet. To literally get off the feces that they cannot
find elsewhere.
Yeah.
That's really bad.
Yeah.
Fucking disgusting.
Okay, Jessica, tell us about the last time you shit your pants.
Honestly, I got pretty sick in Mexico.
Yeah.
I was like giving like Sex and the City vibes, and I think that I had like my mouth a little ajar in the shower, and it just hit me pretty hard. And I knew that I was down bad when I went to go throw up in the toilet, and I turned around. I didn't even know I did it, but I had shit on the wall at the same time.
Yeah. They tell you not to drink the water, Jessica.
I know. I mean, but like, it's not like they give you like a little post-it or that comes on like your flight itinerary information to not do it.
I think there is like travel advisories.
Much,
like,
yeah,
about it,
are there?
Yeah. About
like,
water.
I don't know. I mean, I did like the things. Like, I didn't drink the tap water. Like, I almost brushed my teeth with the regular water, and my mom was like, "Bitch, use a water bottle." And I was like, "Oh, it's like a serious thing."
Yes.
It was either that. I did a lot of cenotes. There was one day where we did like 4 cenotes. So it could have just been some kind of like microorganism that connected to the lake that Amber shat in Michigan. Yeah. Somehow,
I'm telling you.
Cenotes.
The butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Shit edition.
I mean, you shitting on a wall is something. I want to write the screenplay for your life.
I'm a prideful person, yes. So Nyla's like taking care of me this whole time. And
Nyla's your daughter.
Nyla's my daughter, my 9-year-old daughter. And no, she did not offer to clean up the shit. That's not the level of what she was interested in taking care of me. But she tried to reassure me that room service would
clean up the wall.
And
shit.
I was like, there's just a certain level of like, I'm not going to be laying in this bed while someone comes in here and cleans my shit off the wall. So I had to clean it up a little bit.
Yeah. Also, shout out to a 9-year-old knowing what room service is. She's going to go far in life.
Yeah. Well, because when we tried to do it like a very authentic Mexican way when we first went, and we had like a regular Airbnb, but when I got sick, I definitely checked us into like a resort.
Yeah. No more and off the beaten path.
Yeah. So she was like, don't worry, just lay down. They were coming to get her for kids club and shit. We were like,
oh, yeah, resort stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was really fucking nice, actually. It was beautiful.
So we should go to Mexico. We have to stay away from the water.
Yeah, no, definitely stay away from the water. I mean, and also if you go to Michigan, stay away from, which lake was it again, Ben?
Lake Chicago. And also if you're in Flint, Michigan, also stay away from that water as well.
Yeah, so. That's
Ben, tell us your shit story.
I've so many. So I was a runner in college, and I shat myself many times in college, like after, you know, running 80 miles a week. When you're running that much, and sometimes you just don't realize, and so you might fart a little bit.
Like on the run.
Yeah, sharting. Yeah, sharts were a regular part of my life. It was, you know, some people brush their teeth every day, and some people shart every day. So it was acceptable. But it was like residue. It wasn't, okay, this is really gross. But yeah.
So it was like dust?
Yeah, it was, that's, I mean, yeah. But it hung out there for it could hang out there for a day because I might not have realized. I was like, oh, I did.
A day.
I did shart myself.
Like a 24-hour cycle.
Yeah. Because at that, when you're running that much, you sort of beat your body into submission that you're not aware of parts of your body because you just live with constant pain. But
so you
the
can
endorphins.
Either be physically fit and run and just occasionally shit on yourself, or you can be 600 pounds and have to rinse off your ass.
Yeah, so
there's no
jacuzzi.
Win.
There's two sides to all of these stories. So,
damn. Well, I promise you, Jessica, we did not just bring you on the show to talk about your best shit story.
Is this episode sponsored by a bidet or what?
Listen, this is how... You know what? That's a perfect segue into our first segment, which is hashtag influenced, okay? We talk about being creators online, different trends, how we make money on the internet, something that Jessica is actually an expert at. Jessica, how long have you been creating content?
So I started creating content when I first launched my blog in 2017. Mm-hmm. And after about a year of nobody wanting to read because people are generally lazy, I started trying out video content. Yeah, and illiterate also. I started trying out video content and that started doing well. So I've been online since 2017 and I'm good at creating content but not math. So whatever 2023 minus 2017 is. So I think like 5 years. Six.
Maybe six.
I've been creating content online for 6 years. Yeah.
That's awesome. And when did it go from I would say when in the 6 year journey did you start seeing that coin?
Yeah. So the first time I ever got a brand deal, I was probably only like a year and a half into the game. I had 3,000 followers on Instagram, and a really small deodorant company actually reached out to me, and they paid me $750, and I only had 3,000 followers.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, to create, like, I think, like, it was, like, 2 photo posts. It wasn't even videos, and I think I, like, shot them on, like, my iPhone 7, you know? And then from there... I started just getting, I feel like, into a habit of this, like, really bad space that people fall into online of wanting to, like, look like they're doing something versus, like, actually making money from it. So I was taking a lot of, like, affiliate things all of the time or, you know, making posts that insinuated that I was paid, but it was really just, like, they gifted it to me. And then even, like, coming across one of my largest, like, brand deals that I feel like people thought was a good thing for me. They only had paid me $200 and I took it at the time. So I spent probably the first 2 or 3 years of the content creation game, even though starting off really strong with that, like, first, like, $750 for 3,000 followers, just kind of like accepting whatever, because in influencer marketing, it's really hard to know what the standard is.
Yeah.
Because there's no, like, set thing that people tell you.
And you're negotiating all these contracts on your own. You don't have an agency.
Yeah.
Right.
No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
I've tried to, like, have people, like, represent me over time, but I think that 2 things are at play. Like, I think nobody believes in me the way that I believe in me. Nobody also understands my brand the way that I do.
Now, I can agree with you on the second, but you think people who you would hire to be on your team wouldn't believe in you?
So there's this really large influencer in finance that I was talking about something on my Instagram stories and was like, let me connect you with my agent, right? And she was like a huge agent. She sat down with me and we had this conversation. I was super excited. I knew that this person was like doing, you know, like big brand deals. So they would have like these connections for me to get me in the door.
Right.
And I felt so discouraged after that meeting with her because she was like, you know, you have a great engagement, like you have a great audience, all of these things. But, you know, I'm just, I personally can't represent you or have good faith that you wouldn't constantly violate what's called moral turpitude in brand contracts. So there's these little sections in brand deal contracts that I think are kind of phasing out as brands are starting to understand that like people that are real people that cuss and say how they really are online is better for them, really. But basically that section and that clause means that if at any time someone like says or does something, you know, basically like ending, she was fearful. The best way to explain it is she was fearful that I would eventually end up, if not, I already had content out that at some point in time could cause a brand, if they came across it, to like want to renege on a contract or do something, which is insane to me because I know that I'm out there, but like, I'm not like,
You're not doing.
Yeah.
And also, like, there are people who are doing OnlyFans. Like, what is the bar? Because they're making money.
There's also something to be said about there's a certain level of visibility where that stuff starts to not matter.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you have, what's his name? Is it Brett Farman? Who's the funny Asian TikToker? He lives in the Philippines.
Brett Mirock.
Brett Mirock. Yeah. He's out there. He cusses every other thing, but he's landing deals, bitch. Yes.
Big time.
Okay? But he also has a significant following and really, really good engagement.
He transcends the
think that there is like that fine line between a brand just wanting proximity to someone that's like huge, 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 which I've still seen people have really big platforms and still have sponsored posts that absolutely tank regardless. You know?
Oh, hell
but
yeah.
But you see someone like that actually still being able to be themselves in the brand deals. Do you know what I mean? Which I feel like makes all of the difference. But yeah, I say all that to say this woman basically like was like, you like maybe if you clean it up a little, maybe if you
clean
that,
it up.
Like, yeah.
I've been told that from a I love my agents now, but I had an agent before that who was I remember I had gotten pregnant, and so you know when life changes happen in your life, you tell your agent. It's gonna sound like, bitch, now your network going up because of a baby.
Right.
But you can't. You are now in a maternity category for brand deals. And I remember her saying, like, well, we can't really sell you from the mom content because people know you from, like, drinking wine and you cuss a lot and you're yelling at your husband. Like, that's not really the mommy image. And I'm kind of like...
Like who? Because that sounds that like a mom to
literally
me.
That's every mom
ridiculous.
I know.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Well, this agency was... completely BS.
Yeah.
Right.
They were a new agency. They were, for those who don't know, with influencing, the rise of influencing, there's been these pop-up agencies that say, like, hey, we're just focusing on influencers. So they'll find young influencers and sort of bring them on their team.
I've seen them do this
and
all
take
the time
ridiculous,
with TikTok.
Like 20%. Agency fees, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Standard for like a great following would be like 5% or 10%.
Yeah.
So we're talking 20%, which is basically, you know, it's ridiculous. And so this was one of those agencies that popped up where the agency that is repped, Amber is repped by now, they do things in batches. So you'll see like a bunch of people being pitched for one brand. And so they'll be like, okay, here's our budget for this content for, you know, this product. We'll have these five influencers under the same agency because this agency is more established. It's been around longer.
Yeah.
So that's,
and I
will it really
say,
depends.
It is hard on TikTok. Like TikTok keeps trying to market itself as like, you know, we are for adults. We are 18 plus, but I'm like, but you do have a lot of rules.
They do.
That, like, have you gotten content violations for things?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Oh, you know, I have to. What have you gotten content violations for?
Saying nigga.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. See, I mean, well,
like
that's it. But,
sorry.
But they'll just like rip the audio or something, which is confusing to me because I'm like, you have trending sounds that say it. But
literally.
If I like say it.
Well,
I don't
because
understand.
It's we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Is that those violations are user reported? It's not
haters.
Run. Yeah. So people will find specific videos.
Yeah.
but yeah.
Which is hard. How long have you been in TikTok jail? Is what I like to call it. Like, have you been there for like a week?
I've never actually been in full on TikTok jail, but I have been like reported for like different things before.
Girl.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why I didn't understand why she was so hard set on me needing to like feel like I needed to clean stuff up, because I'm not really even that out there.
I don't think you are either.
I don't fall into any kind of beauty category. Like I was telling you earlier about my makeup. Every time I put makeup on, I turn orange. Like I don't care to have my hair done. Like
you have been doing your hair though. Doing your like your curls and stuff. And it's like your hair grows in a way that people can see the journey. You know, like exactly. The minute my hair grows a little bit, I'm like, all right, put some braids in or whatever. But like, it's
or you
so
get
nice.
Out a tape measure, like a centimeter measure.
Yeah. One centimeter out here. But Jessica, your hair, like I see some pictures of your hair, like almost like big chat. And now it's like gotten longer and things like that. So
people like following along too. People will say stuff. They'll be like, "Your hair is getting longer." I'm like, yeah, it's getting grayer too. But
I love your gray hair.
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm that out there with the content. I just think that, you know, I do some crazy stuff. If I'm ever even that much out there, though, I'm participating in some type of crazy trend anyway. It's not like I'm unique to just being insane. Well, you know what I mean?
One of the first trends I ever saw you do is there was a trend going around of people like quitting on camera.
So
let me, can I analyze this video for a minute? Why I think you did really well and why that I think this trend did really well?
Because
yours was the first video I saw. I didn't know it was a trend, but apparently like people are like recording themselves quitting.
Yep.
So for those who don't know, basically, Jessica quits her job, but as she's quitting, she's laughing throughout the whole thing. Right? So let me. This is what I think you are doing. Right? I'm going to break this down analysis wise. So we live in a society where our jobs are so wrapped up in our identity. That's number one. Next, many businesses, corporations act as persons. Legally, the judicial branch said corporations can be people. So when you quit a job, it's almost this violation of an actual person, right? So corporations, some things that they can act as people is that they have religious rights. So a corporation can deny certain kinds of birth control based on a religious, right. So that keeping those two in mind, what you did is you did two things. One, you made quitting your job seem funny. Like this is not a big deal, right? So now you've separated your identity from the job. So you're deconstructing that notion.
Yeah.
Right. The other thing, you're laughing in these people's faces because they're not the corporation is not a person, right? They're just it's just an entity that looks to make money off of you.
Right.
So I think you were deconstructing this whole. Is that what your thinking was behind it, or no?
I don't think that I had any of that thinking happening the way that you broke that down. But I love it. I mean, that was absolutely that was my intention. That was the, all I was.
I feel like you were deconstructing capitalism in that moment. Your purpose,
every
right?
Every day I wake up and deconstruct capitalism. That's my goal. But no, honestly, I was just so fucking sick of that job, dude. Like, and stuff like that is funny to me because I think that I had actually picked up that job already having a following. It was like some of those months get slow sometimes, and I was like, bitch,
just in
job.
Case, yeah, right? Just a
let
little
me
steady
sure
check.
I'm good,
yeah, I got
a lot of people that will feel I feel like entitled to like having a following, and if something gets slow, will get on and be like, I give entertainment, give me money, and I'm not about that life at all. I will go back to a job, or I'll figure out something to sell, right? So I had got that job.
I like that. Yeah, figure out something to sell.
Yeah, I had got that job, and I think that because I had already touched money certain ways. It's very hard to sit on the clock, especially I don't have a high school, diploma. Like I don't have a college degree. There's not a lot of things that I can go into corporate wise that are going to financially sustain me living in Los Angeles as a single mom. So sitting on the clock, I think I was making like $22 an hour and watching like the time go by. And at the same time knowing, oh, I only made $22. Oh, I just made another $22. But in my mind being like, I've made a post for $750 before.
Yeah.
Like, it's very hard to, like, stay tapped in, you know? And so it's not that I was necessarily laughing like the job wasn't serious because I don't want to, you know, be like insensitive. But once you've touched money a certain type of way, it's very hard to go back. And I think that sitting in front of that computer where they made us have our cameras on for stuff we shouldn't have had to have our cameras on for 8 hours a day, I started realizing, you know, how much I wasn't taking advantage of the time in my day to get to the place that I was where I need to get a job again. So when I decided after a couple of weeks and a couple of paychecks that, hey, bitch, it's time to like start treating She Really Had a Baby like an 8 hour clock job again and get up at eight, get on the computer, stop being lazy. I would get a check and then I would like think that I was good. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like larger lump sums of money.
Yes, it is.
And I had to start really like applying myself and treating it like a job. And that quitting video, that job was just really like my like wake up call already existing in content creation. I think I already had like 50,000 followers on Instagram when I had that. I could have been clearing stuff if I really wanted to the way that I know I needed to, if I would have been applying myself. But yeah, I just like my personality is so unserious. And there were already so many things that were happening in that training class. Like I'd already been talking shit with like three of the other people throughout the whole training class on the side, on the chat.
And it sounded like somebody quit before you as well. So you were like, well, while we're on the subject, I quit too.
Right. And then our trainer was so aloof, not just on that call, but throughout the entire training class, that there was this one dude in our class who legitimately would take a screenshot of his thing and set that as his Zoom background as if he was sitting on the thing and she didn't notice and everyone else noticed, but no one wanted to be like a hater. And
Nobody wanted to snitch,
right?
But these are like the things that we're talking about on the side. So when I finally had enough, I just quit. And then, you know, people started saying stuff like, I'm not going to be able to take care of my kid.
Oh, yeah, yes, in the video. The it was awful.
Yeah, they
were
like,
y'all should watch the whole video.
Yeah, we'll put it in the episode notes.
Mm-hmm,
let's go to the next section, Imperfect Parent. So you talked about She Really Had a Baby. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've talked about that. That's your brand, right? That's your business. Can you talk about
that? That's your baby, too.
Yeah. So when I first started blogging, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to name my blog, and She Really Had a Baby is what I came up with. For me, She Really Had a Baby is about, like, what I would have assumed people would say upon realizing that I was pregnant and, like, about to become a mom. Like, She Really Had a Baby, Jessica? She's the one that was really out here, like, this be a whole hoe, okay? Like, and now I'm over here talking about having a kid. So I think that that's where that name was like rooted in, but now it's grown to something much more, which is really just, I feel like the she is like a lot of the different women, whether they're wives, single moms, baby mamas that can identify in some type of way to, you know, the struggle that is motherhood, you know,
that
the
part,
beauty and the struggle of it.
You know, so, I love it because when I make a dinner reservation, I'm like, she really had a dinner, didn't she, Jessica? She really had a dream. She really had an idea. I love She Really Had a Baby.
So you know, most of your content is very funny. You know, so go watch it. But I was scrolling through, and then at one point I was like tearing up because if you don't want to talk about it, totally fine, but you could watch this video. There was a moment where there were these teenagers on the bus and they were like making fun of you, like fat shaming you and taking a video of you. And at one point I think your daughter was like going to stand up and fight them.
Yeah.
You know, so I just want to, because you were talking about having like real conversations. And I love this idea where like, I was just being funny and now you've expanded it to like, this is how you have a conversation about like compassion, because at the end of the video, like these are two teenagers. But something that really struck me about that video is that there's a moment where you're like, these two teenagers just like destroyed my
confidence completely.
Right? And so I think there's this element where you're both in you're comedic, but you're also addressing fat phobia. And so can you talk about like those two different sides of Jessica's, like the comedian but also sort of like a social justice like advocate but with comedy?
I think that my brand started off as something that I wanted to do intentionally, and then just what became easiest for me is just sharing my life. And I think that there's always going to be like an underlying sense of humor in everything that I do, even the sad stuff, because that's how I cope with like pain and trauma. I think everything is a joke.
Me too.
It's
got me in
tragedy
trouble with
plus
her.
Time is comedy.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, sometimes when you're growing a following, like your following and your audience starts to like tell you what it is that they want to hear from you too, you know?
Yeah.
So there's that thing.
So you didn't Doja Cat them?
No. Well, see, I'm not sure I get the reference because when Doja Cat comes to mind, all I think about is doing cocaine on live and large.
Oh, no. So she's like saying, oh, fuck my followers. Fuck.
Yeah, she's like, I don't care.
Someone was like, so I think someone told her, like, tell me that you love me. And she was like, no. She's like, no, I don't love
She's
you.
She's like, I don't know y'all.
She's like, yeah. I don't know my people. Like, I don't care.
Which is kind of like an inside thought. It's like,
here's my thing. Doja. That's what I'm going to say. She just doesn't understand marketing.
Yeah. That's what the problem is. Yeah, we could have spun this.
Or you also don't do cocaine on live.
I don't do cocaine at all anymore. Yeah. That was the she before the baby.
Oh, yeah. She really had a baby. She really did cocaine.
Yeah.
She really did a bump.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I think that the older Nyla's gotten too, like the conversations have changed with her about the different things that are happening in our lives. And, you know, there's been a time where on my podcast, I brought her on and she started talking about things that I wasn't even expecting her to bring up. And it's like, I know that if I'm learning how to navigate all these different conversations with people, you know, I would be doing a disservice to like hundreds of thousands of single moms or moms at all that are following me with children that are in this age gap. I think that one of the reasons that I know, or I can attribute my mom's like failures, quote unquote, where she couldn't show up for me was like not having like a good model or not having a good outlet to, or like community support for
your own mother. Yeah. You're saying like your own mother didn't have her Jessica online or something.
Exactly. And I think that that contributed heavily to the ways that she was incapable of showing up for me. Like, you know, the same way that I get stuff from other people online where I'm like, wow, I didn't think about it that way, or wow, let me approach it that way. I learned something from someone online about a safety network when it comes to, you know, teaching your kids about their boundaries with their bodies, and that a safety network should be not just three people in your family but two people outside of it. Just little things that no one actually teaches you at any point in time, because becoming a parent, they're not handing you
unless your
manual.
Parent is like a PhD in like psychology or something, and like 20 years ago or 30 years ago, right? Like,
and even then they
it was
can
just
be
academia.
So far removed
from they are.
The times
our parents also I think obviously we had different parents, but in this room, but our parents come from the generation of like keeping it together, not letting people know your family's business, sweeping things under the rug. And so I think millennials with the cusp of the internet, we're learning like, no, my superpower is actually sharing people many sides of me. And I know, like, I'm sure both of our parents have been afraid at different points of like, okay, if y'all are sharing y'all's marriage to people, that's gonna give them an opportunity to maybe poke holes in it or share some whatever or pick at what y'all are do as traditions. And in reality, you're like, no, but our generation actually gets hard off of that. Yeah. Our generation actually loves saying like our kids get on our nerves, like let's all vent about it and doing support group internet style.
It's allowing people to be themselves.
Yeah.
If I just showed up as the Jessica that's funny, all I would be doing is creating some type of fake persona online for someone that is funny sometimes, but is also fucking miserable and insecure other times to look at that page and just feel like sad about.
Right. I want to be inspired by.
I'm telling you, like, people are so fucked up that like I can't even take positive content creators seriously, like
at all.
If your whole shit is just you happy bitch, like I can't be tapped in.
Like, I'm so happy with my kids, I'm so happy with my man, my marriage is perfect, I look at my fridge, it's all aesthetic. I'm like, but where's your real fridge, sis? Where are the leftovers? Listen, they're in there. Where's who ate your sandwich last night? That's what it is for us.
The Atlanta ran an article when the whole posting your relationship was getting big in like 2010, and basically the study began to show that people who post a lot of positive content about their romantic relationships are actually more likely to be unhappy.
Yeah.
So the more there's a direct correlation to you posting happy content about your relationship and being discontent.
Like, if I get a Christmas card with some matching PJs, I'm like, oh, there's trouble. Right. There's trouble in the home.
Especially if it's matte. It's printed in matte.
Help us.
Wait, matte.
Okay,
like,
so next time
like
we'll
black?
Do gloss. Yes.
Like the gloss? Wait. Matte is
like
black.
The texture,
matte
the texture.
Like the more expensive card.
Oh, yeah. So you're like, oh, you put a lot of money in this instead of the therapy.
Okay, Jessica, obviously we have a 1-year-old and you have a 9-year-old.
I do.
And you have been online, since we're in that parenting segment, right? And you have been online the majority of her life. what is that interplay like when Nyla's like, put that phone away, I want to talk to you for real, or whatever. Because I know one day Wild's going to be like, I never want to be on camera again. Like, you two have made me sick of this.
So Nyla started expressing that she was not interested in doing content anymore. And so I respected her. It was probably about like a 6 to 7 month period where she just didn't want to be in any content. And it was hard, especially because I had already signed brand deal contracts.
With Mommy Things?
Yes, with Mommy Things. There was like this vitamin company that we had like a series of posts for. And I tried to explain to them. And I told them, I was like, my daughter doesn't want to do content anymore. Here's a new idea.
Yeah.
It'll be funny.
Look at you. We're going to do a workaround.
They're like, no, there needs to be a kid in it. God, like, she needs to be in it. And I was like, okay. I said, that's fine. So what I did was I borrowed my friend's kid and I let the brand suffer because the whole comment section was, who the fuck is that?
But I bet it was engagement.
Wow.
I bet the engagement was.
That's respect.
Did you use like a decoy? Like, did this child even look a little bit like Nyla?
No. It was a very pale baby.
But you know what? You have integrity, though, because your kid said, I don't want to be on camera.
Yeah. And then
sitting in the understudy.
Her watching that play out, Nyla watching like me hire another kid and like take the kid to go get a toy and do the whole thing. She was like, She got jealous. She said it. She's like, I'm jealous. I want to do it again. And now we're at a point where she is old enough where she just wants to like make her own things. I don't let her have social media, but she has like Splice on her phone. So she doesn't not enjoy the camera. She's actually really into the creative side of things. She just doesn't like my ideas. And she also like...
Well, she's fourth grade.
So she's going into fourth grade.
Fourth grade.
So she's also very tapped in. Like, a lot of my stuff is like baby daddy shaming, and she love her daddy, okay?
Every time
we're packaging up baby daddy tears cups, she's like, baby daddy tears. That's your baby daddy. So she's kind of, you know, he has a good sense of humor about it. So
she's
not like super off put by it. But if I do really want her in content, I just got to pay her.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I do be paying her.
I'm telling you, these babies.
We started off at like $5 a video, but now we're at like $25, $30 sometimes. Like,
she wants to
pay. Oh, so you're cheating her. You're cheating her.
First of all, we never know what's going to flop and what's going to hit. But I will say, there was one time where I was like, oh, shit, it's taking off. I was like, it's doing good. She's like, does that mean I get paid more?
She's about to strike on you, SAG.
She got good business sense. Yeah, she already quit you once now.
Listen.
She said royalties.
Listen.
Royalties, honey.
When I'm on Instagram Live or TikTok Live and I'm trying to like sell my digital products, I do this thing at the end of the live where I have a time period where you can get it for a discount, right? So Nyla is really like aesthetically creative. She likes drawing and stuff. So she would draw all these like pictures, took pictures of them. So she takes pictures of all these different pictures that she has drawn and she starts texting them to all the contacts in her phone. And she's like, just letting you know, my shop is closing in 15 minutes, so you can get them for this price right now. Woochie, woochie, woo. Like, I'm like, dang, like, she really got that little hustle.
She's
to
a hustler.
But I have to teach her to, like, not make everything about it. Like, you have to enjoy some stuff. I'm like, dang, I must be on the grind culture thing. Because she started making these beads things. She's like, how much can these go for? I'm like, girl, let's just make art.
Oh, you got her. Art. You got her money hungry. She's like tracing her hand for like a Thanksgiving turkey. She's like, I could probably sell it.
Every time I look, because the way that I teach her like finance and like independence and like saving money is I pay her on Apple Pay on her phone. And then that way she can like manage her money and actually get real world experience by like utilizing Apple Pay. If you want to buy something out of your own money, you can use Apple Pay at Target, whatever. And every time I look over and I see how her balances keep going up, I'm like, where are you getting money? You are just constantly convincing the same 20 niggas in your contacts to Cash App you or Apple Pay you for something that never gets delivered because how are you getting it to them? But
My gosh, I'm obsessed with her.
Yeah.
Like she's going places. Yeah. If this is her
and
at
also,
like nine.
Yeah. There's the compromise too. So I think Nyla's found a really good sweet spot with being in the content without being in the content. Cause some of my best performing content recently is just her talking shit on the side and she's fine with that. I still always get her consent to like record and participate and like structure it in the way that it needs to be structured. But she, it is stressful though. And I can understand why she doesn't want to do it because when you're doing like a TikTok with another adult, they understand the premise of we didn't get that. Let's run it back. We didn't get that.
Do they? Do they understand it? Because, Ben, you know, we've had some time.
Hell?
when I was teaching, like, you know, 8 hours a day and had to be around middle schoolers, early when we started doing the brand deals, we would wake up at like 6 o'clock. We would record for an hour and I'd be like, I want to read a book before I have to go to work or something. Or I want to.
So it's like, so you can't bite this sandwich.
I would like to shower before I go to work.
You can't bite this sandwich for $8,000 because you got to shower.
Nyla's like, I'm hungry. And I'm like, this trend is sounding right now. This sound is trending right
sound
now.
The sound is trending right like, now. Please. He's slowly getting it, but sometimes I'm like, I need you to steam this shirt.
No, now I'm on it. Now I'm on it. Like, I will drop everything if we have a brand deal. We've recently had two brand deals where it was very timely, and so I dropped everything. I was like, all right, I will not masturbate today. I will, I will, I will get on it. I will stop playing video games. I will, I will not get drunk
in the bathroom on the toilet this morning because that was the only place that I could have to myself. Just had my little rose.
Like, good for you. Okay, I just got the rose.
Well, I just got the rose for you.
This is a great segue.
And handcuffs.
Let's talk about. Okay, we don't have to put all our business out there. And handcuffs.
Are they furry?
Yeah, they're they're not chained. They're
They're Velcro-y.
They're soft, so they're not going to hurt you.
They're cute, but you know you can't be a black woman telling people I get handcuffed by my white man.
Well, no, it's not. Just
I smell my next cancellation coming.
No, the handcuffs are shared. We're handcuffing each other.
Okay,
I'm like this is how handcuffs look. Yes, work.
But let me ask you a question, Jessica. Okay, so
equal enslavement.
Exactly. Right. Equal opportunity discrimination and trauma.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Obviously, we're married, so it's, you know, we're hanging out with each other. How do you integrate new partners into your dynamic with Nyla? Or is it, are you like, no, let's just keep them separate until this
also
is,
being
like,
a social media star as well. I think there's something that's like, oh, you do social media full time.
Know.
It's like, actually,
I have never introduced Nyla to someone until my most recent relationship. And that's only been like about a month of them being integrated, which was interesting for one, just because Nyla has never seen me like be with another person before. Mm-hmm. But then also, she's a woman. So that was not necessarily different because Nyla's never seen me be with anyone. But I think Nyla, knowing she has a dad, you know, she obviously knew that it was dick before this, right? So I
love her bringing that up at the dinner table. Like, somehow it was dick before this.
Right.
What's going on now?
Well, now there's really interesting conversations. I tried to, she's been raised around a lot of different, you know, types of people, right?
Yeah,
I have friends that are trans. I have friends that are studs. I have friends that are non-binary. So Nyla is like not shy to the idea of like pronouns or sexuality. Like, she understands all of these things. I think it was more so just like starting to like see me interact with someone in a certain way,
like romantically.
Yeah, we all went swimming the other day and she was like, Mom, I feel like everyone at the pool was looking at you guys when you guys were hugging each other in the pool. And I was like, I don't think that everyone was looking at us. I think that maybe you just feel uncomfortable with it. And if you're uncomfortable with us doing that, I won't do it anymore. And I don't know if that's even the right answer. I just know that my priority is always her comfort.
Yeah.
Because the way that I grew up was my mom prioritizing men in relationships, I feel like, over the wants and needs of her own children. So if Nyla doesn't like something, regardless of whether or not my partner likes it, it's just not happening anymore.
So it's never like the person that you're with.
Yeah.
She's like the act, like when we did this on this day, I felt some type of way.
Yeah, but she like loves, she really loves my current partner right now. And I think it's because they're both childish.
So that, so I guess my next question would be, do you love your current partner right now?
I do. We've been talking for like a year and a half. We just made things official like a month and a half ago.
You look so irritated, right? I can't even. This camera can see you. You roll your ass that we've been talking a year and a half.
Being in a relationship is so fucking exhausting. Like, yeah. I woke up this morning, and it's funny you said the book thing. Like, I was like, oh, as I'm getting out of the bed, everyone else is getting out of the bed at the same time. Wow, we're all just up now. So I guess I'm not going to be alone for a second. Like, you know,
yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot to have different interests as a person and try to, like, not be judgmental and just, like, remember that, like, this person loves and cares about you and is supportive of you and you want to be the same thing for them. It's, like, I read this book called How Not to Die Alone, and it was saying that a lot of people think that you have to, like, have all of these same similarities and, like, hobbies and interests for something to work, right? But the reality is you don't really have to, but you do have to have, like, a certain sense of tolerance. Like,
yeah.
And I think that that is where I'm struggling. Like, being in a relationship has made me realize how selfish I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really? Want, yeah, for sure.
You know I'm going to push you on that, because you know I don't think you're selfish. I think you have a standard of excellence for yourself, and you want to, because I can relate. Because yeah. You can't be selfish, because that would mean I'm selfish. That's really what I'm
you're
hearing.
You're selfish.
No.
We can say
that. We're not
that.
Selfish. We like things done a certain way.
Yeah.
At a certain time.
Sometimes
and
you
that
put...
has served us. Has it not?
So yeah. Something that Amber sometimes do, you might do this too, is that she... will say, we're doing this for the brand, right?
Yeah.
And so she masks her selfishness in, like, the brand, right? And building something where I'm like, dude, like, we just gotta chill for a second.
Well,
you know?
That's like me with my partners. When I say I'm doing it for the brand, that's why I'm not posting her.
Right. Ooh. Oof. But I am the brand. Wow. The brand is me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And under the umbrella of the brand, enter you, enter Wild, enter Dog, enter Shenanigans.
Yeah. Man.
So
another thing I'm doing, I'm giving away my dog this week.
Oh yeah, how's that going to
be? Yeah. First of all,
cuz you're going to go
charging me to give it back. I was like, god damn.
Oh yeah, yeah. Let's
they
actually
are?
Yeah.
Oh,
we're
damn.
Super off topic. I'm sorry.
No. Actually, let's talk about that because
yes,
yeah, and
it's
then
very
this
exciting.
Is really the last thing for Imperfect Parent, then we got to get into okay.
Yeah, you're going to help us with some love letters.
Some relationship advice. So
I'm an expert, obviously.
So yes, for those who don't know, Jessica, have you announced this on your social media?
There's nothing that I haven't announced on my social media outside of masturbating on the toilet this morning, which
that,
I've now done.
That is fantastic.
On this podcast.
Yes, yeah,
exclusive
for
content
you.
For us. I think we just found
that
our...
That rose is powerful.
We found our, I think our title for this episode, Masturbating on the Toilet.
I guess.
Please write that.
Perfect.
Yep.
I love it.
So Jessica, for listeners who don't know, she is dropping everything, leaving LA, traveling around the world for a year because of many reasons. But you're actually going to homeschool your daughter for a year. Can you talk about that?
So I actually pulled her out about 6 months ago to start the process, so it wasn't just like such a shock. Yeah, I found all this different curriculum that I like. I think that I get to learn in the process of her learning as well, particularly as it pertains to like history. The math comes with some supplementation of like videos. And actually while we've been out here still in LA, I've had like a tutor coming by and like facilitating it that way. But yeah, we have a one-way ticket, to start out in Costa Rica for 2.5 months and then hop to Brazil and then just really spend as long as we can traveling the world as a digital nomad. I'm trying to get into the digital nomad space. I really want to world school / unschool. I don't like super identify with the unschool side because it's like seems really, really hippie. And
what is unschool?
Yeah,
can
I'm not
you
familiar with unschool.
Summarize
so
that?
So unschooling is the idea that everything that they would traditionally teach you in like a public school setting or whatever kind of like school setting, you're doing the opposite. So before I even fully committed to going and traveling full time, I knew that I was going to pull Nyla out because we were having these instances where I wasn't appreciating what was happening in the school setting, particularly to how I feel like they regulate time. And I feel like, for instance, I'm not a timing person. My daughter is 9. She was 8, 7 sometimes, where when I'm dropping her off 5 minutes late, she's being penalized for me getting her to school late. Or I'm put in a position where I have to fill out paperwork about
tardiness.
Why my child is tardy. And to me... as someone that's a creative and has created my own lane and business and like sense of revenue and knows that while structure is needed in a certain sense and like respecting time is understandable, like the way that I started looking at what school was doing to like my small child, which is socializing her into the idea that from like 8 to 3, like this is this time clock that you're on and like you need to be prompt. I feel like she was being slowly but surely trained into being somebody's employee.
Well, that's, yeah, that factory, it's a factory setting, right? The entire design of our schools were designed, even our buildings are designed to initiate people into a factory setting.
Maximize production.
Where you'll see, you know, different more expensive schools or, you know, more bougie schools. They'll have like open classrooms. There's a lot more fluidity. People complete things when they want.
Right.
This is something that I talk with Amber about jokingly. I was like, yeah, I would love to homeschool wild.
Yeah.
And I say it jokingly, but the more I reflect on the 10 years I was in school in Chicago public schools, the more I realize that I don't want to put my daughter through that. So I think it's so fucking dope that you are traveling with your kid. Because that's like the real education.
But now Jessica did mention that a tutor comes to the home and supplements as well.
It's about to get a little interesting while we're on the road here. Like, that's just something that you're just going to have to tune in and find out how that goes. Because there is a certain level of patience that I lack with not understanding certain things.
Yeah.
So when it comes to like science and history and language arts, like all the curriculum that I have is like fun and engaging and interesting for me. But when it comes to like
the mathematics,
why are we not understanding what 20 plus 5 is? Like, get the fuck together. Yeah. You know?
The mathematics, yeah.
But like I said, like, you know, anywhere that I go, there's someone that's going to be better at math than me. And I'm all about a good outsourcing.
I mean, speaking of math, you were telling me that you're like saving hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
Like staying in Airbnbs around the world.
Negotiating the Airbnbs. How about that? How about in other places in the world, there can be something listed for $2,500 and I can literally say I'll give you $600 a month and they'll be like $800 and I'm like, deal.
I didn't even know you could do that.
When you're doing long-term stays on Airbnb, you can negotiate with these people.
Because it guarantees an income for them.
This is going to go in your next book, right? Your next digital book.
Because my next digital product is definitely going to be all about traveling and specifically related to whatever area I'm staying in. So I know that Costa Rica is going to be one of the first ones.
So you do know math.
Yeah, right. To a certain extent.
The negotiations,
I know how to count them Stripe fees and them PayPal transactions, okay? But yeah, I'm really, really excited to explore the world. I'm actually getting really nervous because my whole thing is I wanted to like detach myself from all of the things. Like, I've been in this apartment for the past 3 years and I have all of this stuff that I don't touch or use every single day, stuff that I've spent thousands of dollars on, and I'm slowly just letting it all go for pennies on the dollar to just completely start over and be like, these are our six suitcases. You know, one is homeschooling, one is, you know, whatever it is that I feel like we need. And even that, hopefully over time, will get less because I want to prioritize, like, experience in my life.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to travel. You know, I just got my passport a year and a half ago.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. Thank you. And so after getting mine, I immediately knew I needed to get my kids. And I think that there's this idea that when you're a mom, especially a single mom, that there's a part of your life that like stops. Yeah. And instead of like sitting around and fantasizing about what I'm going to do when my daughter turns 18 and seeing the world, like the world is fucking crazy. Like, I literally can't stop eating double doubles. Like, I need to get the fuck out of here before I tank or before McDonald's takes me out for whatever reason. So it's like, I would rather.
You were talking to me about your cholesterol the other day, and I was like, yeah. I'm not laughing at the situation. I'm laughing at your delivery.
Right.
This is way too good.
Exactly. But it's like, there's so much in this particular environment that pertains to like my health, my discipline, my self-control, like my anxiety, that I would. Like, what is the point of doing what it is that I'm doing online if I'm not exploring the world and doing the things that
people... Because you have that freedom.
Yeah. Because that's really what it comes down to. Like, everyone thinks that it's about money, but it's not about money. It's about how you make your money.
How you make it.
Right?
And how you use it.
Like, realistically, the amount of money that you make in Los Angeles I could be good for years in Costa Rica. There's homes, beautiful homes, floor to ceiling glass fucking windows for $170,000 homes overlooking the jungle in Costa Rica. It's all about how do you want to live? How disconnected are you okay with being? Are you okay with not being able to Postmates Chipotle? You know, like, are you okay with not necessarily having like movie theaters to go to? It's about changing like what your world is. And I think that even with connecting with my child, I talk a lot of shit about, like, you know, how I feel about parenthood, but a lot of my frustrations come from having to balance the income to sustain the life and the presence to sustain the child. And I think that if I take some of those factors away, I'll be able to be more present with her throughout that process and experience things with her. That makes it fun. When you think about why, like, little kid stuff annoys you, it's because, like, dude, like, this is fucking annoying. I know my ABCs. Like, I know this. I know that. But when I think about the fact that she's at this age where I can experience things with her.
Yeah, like, let's go swimming together. Yeah. Let's go hike together.
That's what we did. Like, we were in Tulum, and we were doing, like, cenote caves together and, like, learning about cenotes at the same time.
Like, your TikTok would tell a different story. It looked like you had a terrible time in
Tulum. Yes, you're like, Airbnb sucks. Then I shit myself. Yeah.
It was hot as hell. Sorry. I also brought my mom, which was a horrible decision as well. That's going to be the next one.
Shout out to mama.
You think that not speaking Spanish is what fucks you up in Mexico, but not speaking Spanish and your mama being white and talking back to everybody in a
Mom Mexican is white. Accent. I forgot
we
that.
We was down bad out there. I was like, just shut the fuck up. Stop talking.
See, we brought Ben's mom to Paris. She didn't do too bad, but she can be indecisive. Yeah. So I'm like, trying to take her shopping, and I'm like, just pick a dress. Just pick one.
People would be like, ¿por qué esa manera? And my mom would be like, so what we're trying to do is, I'm like, you're not speaking in Spanish.
No, you're not.
You're not speaking in Spanish.
Just an accent,
you're
mom.
You're speaking in an accent back at them in English.
What we're trying to
Please
do.
Stop. But yeah.
My mama would do the same thing.
But yeah, like while we were out there outside of all the fuckery, we went to like Chichen Itza and like we got to walk around and do a tour, and that's like history for the day. I think the idea of what schooling needs to be, once you get past reading and arithmetic, you really get to like build your own kid. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like what you want to instill. And there's certain like boxes that I still have to check with like California code and like doing certain things as far as like testing that are required, but the curriculum does it. And then on top of it, you get to pick it. Like, for instance, with history, I have a curriculum called Woke Homeschooling, and there's all these things that I'm learning about actual history that like you feel like you say you know that like the U.S. history and public school system is like not what it really was, but you just say that and you don't really do the research. It's like
you watch the viral TikTok video or something. Yeah,
it's Instagram and TikTok wokeness. But now I'm sitting here and like we're reading a book called Before Columbus right now. And I'm like, wow, like we're actually learning together, and things like that make it easier to do. So I'm excited. I'm excited about traveling. I'm excited about letting go of things and starting over and figuring out what we want, you know. And if this sucks, it's still going to be great content.
It almost feels collaborative between you and her, because now she can say, like, we did the traveling. I love it. Let's keep going or not.
Yeah.
And I think, like, all of our childhoods were very like, well, y'all going to do what I can afford. Y'all going to do what I want y'all to do. Right. Y'all going to do, like, what is easiest for me. And I think you're really thinking strategically about, like, how do I make parenting work for Nyla and myself?
Let's
I want to do that as well.
To Costa Rica.
Let's do it.
Oh, I'm down.
Come.
Wait, no, really?
You know I'm down. We've talked about that many times. I've talked about let's make sure we declutter our lives to a point that if somebody asks me, like, can you move to Japan for a year? Like, we can do that for sure.
Yeah, maybe not Japan.
Now, we might have to get rid of...
Japan's a little bit more expensive than LA.
We might have to rehome the baby. We might have to rehome the dog. That's what I meant to say.
Well, and that's what's happening right now is it's kind of like heartbreak city for Nyla, but this dog has been overstimulating me since day one, so I'm kind of like ready for the dog to go.
Ready to go.
Oh my gosh. All right, Jessica, let's jump into some relationship advice questions with our segment called I Do's and Don'ts. Now, I know you are pretty unhappy in your 1 year, 1 month relationship.
Damn.
She said it. She sighed about it. Okay, well, let me ask you this. Jessica, on a scale from 0 to 10, how satisfied are you with your current relationship? 10 being like, we're the Obamas.
Don't do that.
This can't be a clip.
I, if you tell me not to make it a clip, I won't make it a clip.
See, Amber likes to put people on that spot.
She sighed, bringing up her relationship. Am I petty? Yes.
All right. First of all, you're only in a month. You're like a month and a half into it being official, which is the hardest part. Amber wanted to break up with me as soon as that happened.
Yeah.
No, I didn't want to break up with you until we moved in together.
Yeah.
That was a waking nightmare.
She's kind of basically like staying with me. Okay. Yeah. Very gay, so it's very fast.
Very gay, very fast.
Yeah. I think we moved in after about a year. Okay. It was less than 2 years. And I would come home after working all day. It was my first year of teaching officially. Mm-hmm. I was a TA up until that point, and I would sit in the car because I know that once I got in, she would give me shit about something.
I feel like I have like a six.
That's not bad.
60%. That's failing.
Well, I didn't think about it like that. I was thinking like, dang, six is closer to the ten than a five.
A 600 batting average is good if we're talking about hitting. Yeah, there we go.
Six isn't great though.
Anyways, on to other people's relationship problems.
Oh damn, other people's relationship problems.
I know too much. Okay.
Damn,
we'll probably be broken up by the time this airs.
Stop,
man. She said it.
Stop.
It wasn't me. Jessica said it, y'all.
Okay.
I'm single if you're listening to this in the future.
Oh, no.
This is only going to be about 3 weeks in the future, so damn. I love the faith that
I'll be in Costa Rica, so I'll probably see.
Damn.
Wow. All
right.
Letter number one. These are going to be short and sweet, but we're going to ask these and then hear Jessica's opinion first.
Yeah, just Jessica's, actually.
Okay, I'm with it. Dear Fly on the Wall and Podcast, would you date someone who lived with their ex? Me and my boyfriend have been together for about a year. Before that, he was with his ex for 2 years. We met when they were still together, so basically, I was the homewrecker. They aren't close, and he doesn't mention her. Every time I go over to the place, she's there, but she knows who I am. And then one night, I slept over, and she came back the next day and was shocked to see me there. But no hands were thrown. I really do like this guy, but I'm having a hard time trusting him, even when he tells me it's just you and me. What should I do?
So immediately no, but at the same time, so I was recently dating someone before the person that I'm with right now, and they lived with someone that they had just been hooking up with.
Like casually.
Previously, yeah.
Not a relationship.
But I was super insecure and uncomfortable with it because to me it's just like, you have these potential situations of like that late night urge or, you know, a couple drinks in or just like being in that much.
Like when the rose on the toilet isn't doing it for you.
When the rose on the toilet isn't doing it for you, you know, your roommate / past lover may hit the spot. And I just, I don't. But they were also very like open and free flowing. So I think there's this idea at the same time that like people are not necessarily possessions that like I want to get into it. But like my gut.
It's a very queer thinking.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Probably healthy.
Very,
probably maybe more that, healthy, too.
Yeah, for sure.
But there's a gut feeling inside
of me that still has the desire to be very territorial over people. And because of that, living with someone that you used to fuck is definitely not okay with me at all.
Yeah.
I won't even date someone that has kids that are, I mean, honestly, kids, period. Because,
wait. Her?
Right.
Like, this going to be the clip.
Right. I'm not dating someone with kids because it's like, for one, I don't really like kids that much. So for me...
Yeah, and
if
you
I'm,
already have one, so
if
why
I'm dating
bring
someone,
more?
Okay. Right, and I care about you and I love you in a certain type of way, I am obviously going to want to feel the same way about your child, and I'm not going to because kids annoy me. So you don't have
the capacity to love somebody else's
kids.
That's
a cold, hard equation right there.
It is.
To the point.
If I do... The kid is going to have to at least be like 7 years old is the sweet spot for you to still not be giving up to your baby daddy or your baby mama. Shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. There's some drop-offs where it still might happen.
I'm sorry.
Okay, wait. So for the
Did
record.
Did you snort?
Yes. It's so cute, too.
I love it. Oh, I thought that was Amber.
No,
it was
that
Amber
was Jessica.
Snort.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I love it. I'm sorry. I didn't hear anything. I thought it was Amber. Amber will snort.
Okay, so
I'm sorry. Snorting is cute.
So in baby daddy land, there might be some. There
still
might
still hitting. I feel like
still hitting.
As a baby mama,
not
myself,
currently. I don't want to ruin your relationship.
Listen,
that might.
Oh yeah,
may or may not be over with.
Right.
But.
Exactly. So as a baby mama, I spent the first I'm not even gonna say the first. I could hit my baby daddy whenever I want to hit my baby daddy, period. Ooh. Like, I've always known that. I've always taken advantage of that whenever I wanted to, right? I personally feel like that desire starts to go away around, like, 7 years. Mm. So if I'm dating somebody, especially a man that has kids, I'm not even going based off what they'll do, because a man gonna hit regardless. That's why I really don't want to deal with him at all. But if you have a kid around at least 7, your baby mama is probably tired of you by now.
Okay.
That's really all it's based off of.
Got it. It's the drama. It's the baby mama drama.
It's the drama. It's the age. It's, you know, like, there's something about the newness of, like, the baby that, like, keeps people all wrapped up in one another.
Yeah, so.
But I'm really just period. I mean, I'm just.
Has your baby daddy dated women and they're, like, a little bit worried about you?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Got it. That's kind of like an ongoing, like, that's kind of just never going to stop.
Well, you know what's funny is one girl reached out to me on Instagram once and was like, hey, I was talking to your baby daddy and things kind of got weird. And, like, as a woman, I just wanted to, like, come to you because I asked about the relationship with you and him. And he sent me your Instagram as proof that you guys are not together. Because of the things that I talk about and the cups.
Oh,
that
the
I
cups.
Show,
that, like, is hilarious. And also great evidence.
Like, yeah, see, but it's misleading.
And he was like, it was the way he was, like, talking about it, though. It was like, yeah, like, she makes a something based off of me. And she was like, I didn't like that energy. And, like, you seem actually cool now that I'm on your page.
Oh,
so, how sweet.
Yeah.
And now you guys are best friends.
No, we're not. I never.
And now y'all are together.
And now y'all. Right.
Let this be like
that. And that is the relationship that may be over. But no, there was, like, one specific relationship that he was in. I don't know that he's been in a relationship since this relationship, but Nyla was, like, 6 months and it was pretty toxic. Yeah. He left me when I was 6 months pregnant to be with his coworker, and he was like, later on it came out that he was telling her things like, oh, he couldn't see the baby because he was in the relationship with the girl, like lies that he would tell. It was like, no, you didn't come see the baby because you didn't feel like coming to see the baby. But absolutely,
it's a way to garner sympathy, like, I can't even see my child, you know.
And that's something I didn't even realize was a thing until I had a child of my own and I was a baby mama, because I had dated men with kids before that would, like, do the, like, my baby mama's crazy thing.
Yeah, making it.
And now I'm like the crazy baby mama. Yes. And I'm like, dang, like, people really just be making up narratives and running along with it.
Right.
But yeah, I would definitely not date someone that lives with their ex. I don't think that that's a good idea. I just recently tried it. It ended pretty toxically. And then I ended up in a relationship with someone that I'm way less passionate.
Very happy.
Less passionate about being with. I actually dream
about. I'm just
about
reading the body language. You dream about what?
The person I was before. I miss them so much.
See, you messy. See, you messy.
Look, y'all got a lot of listeners too. Huh? I'm used to my little podcast. Don't nobody be listening.
You dream about the person you were with before the person you're with now.
I literally miss them so much.
Relatable. Just kidding. I mean, it could be relatable to somebody, not to me. Not to me. Okay. Relatable to somebody, not to me, though.
Tonight will be the last episode of Fly on the Wild. We appreciate our supporters.
this is what they said about
speaking of, you know what? Since you said that, since you want to be cute, remember we did, when we first started dating, you did live with somebody that you slept with. And yeah. I was playing it cool.
Once, yeah, it was cool,
and I stuck by you.
Yeah,
mm-mm.
We're still, now you were afraid still, to tell we're me. Still friends. Yeah,
yeah, y'all are still friends.
And you're she's yeah,
she's my friend too.
Yeah,
oh shit.
Yeah, she's cool.
I haven't slept with her, for the record.
What she look like?
She cute. I have not slept with her. Letter number two. Hey, Fly on the Wild podcast. Please help. I want to have better sex with my partner, and right now it's lacking. I didn't have sex for the first time until I was in my late 20s. Mm. So it's still an insecure subject for me, but I want to grow and learn how to be more sexual. Mm. I just want to have healthy combos about it with my partner. I would love any advice.
Mm. I feel like there's some things in sex that you can control and some things that you can't. Because I think sometimes people think sex is bad based off of their actual, like, attraction to the person versus whatever's happening. I think that your level of attraction to someone, like, you could just fucking blow on it and I'm gonna come. Like, I just love you, right? Mm. But,
yeah.
So there's that to consider. I'm not in the business of teaching people things, man. I'm a horrible person. I don't believe in...
Okay, so how do you spice things up in the bedroom?
How do you spice things up the
how
rows?
Do you, the rows. In the bathroom.
In the toilet.
We just sold 38 roses. They got to give me a cut after this episode. I mean, it really is good.
Yeah.
Have you ever had someone use a rose or a wand on you?
Oh, yeah. My current partner's, like, thing. It's,
that's like the thing.
Rose,
yeah.
And,
yeah. Have you done, like, any, like, latex or have you ever...
Like, condoms?
No, like latex, like putting on like leather or like a little whip.
I'm too big for that shit. I'm not putting it. Maybe.
There's leather for everybody.
You could wear leather.
You could rock leather.
Do you mean you're too big because
every
of heat?
Every time I have sex, I am in an oversized t-shirt, a bonnet, and just hoping somebody can just take my drawers.
Do you do any role playing?
I've done role play before, like back in the day. There was like this one dude, he was a real hood dude. I used to date all gangsters. Every dude I used to date.
I know, I read your whole book.
G. Yeah.
And the one thing I got out of your book is that you dated gang members. Yeah.
Bangers.
Gang, yeah.
If you're looking for my book on social media, monetization, and my former life as a...
You were a Crip.
Gangbanger lover.
And in MySpace, in your MySpace profile, yeah. You said you were a Crip.
Yeah. You really read it.
I actually read your book.
We did.
I mean, it's 38 pages. We'll get into that.
Right.
And Shelby, but yeah.
But yeah, no. Yeah. So
you would role play.
We would role play, and I would pretend that.
You
I
were
would
a Crip.
Pretend that, no. I would have him pretend that he would, like, break into my house.
What?
I have, like,
would you like hide under the bed
really,
or like
you want to know what's really this? I'm just let's just let it all out.
Let's go. Let's take it.
So
there.
One of like my like biggest like sexual fantasy things is so traumatizing. It's like a like it's like break in and like take.
Yeah, because you like the aggression. You like you know what it is. I like aggression too. Yeah. I love a little slap on the face. We have to be so dominant in our careers and run everything and do the spreadsheets and schedule the meetings that when it comes to the bedroom, we just want daddy.
It's daddy
the means
script
any
in a
gender.
Safe way.
For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, we just want to be told to shut the fuck up and told what to do.
Yeah, I can talk. I can say things in bed to Amber that I could never, ever say. Ever.
Right.
I would get...
the N-word. Like, that's...
Right.
No. We're not doing
I was just like, be clear.
No, I'm just like, you know, I'll be like, oh, you little slut, you little...
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I'm like
scared,
almost scared to say it because she likes that, you know?
Dude, I had someone one time tell me that I was talking too much during sex because I was trying to like guide them into that and they were like, be quiet.
Oh, ew.
And I was like, but it wasn't like a be quiet, like, shut up, bitch. It wasn't like that. Like a good one. It was like you're talking too much.
Ew.
I've had the worst sexual experiences, but I've had a lot of sexual experiences. So
same.
Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, I definitely am not, I guess like she's younger, but I feel like you're already inexperienced, this person in the letter.
Yeah.
So like you don't need to be trying to teach someone something. You need to go out there, find you a new one. Who is going to do it right? It's too many people out here doing it right to be stuck on somebody doing
that's
it wrong.
Hilarious.
I feel like also they have to be willing to learn. They have to be willing to learn. They have to say like they have to want because you if you pay attention to somebody's body, you can tell like they're clearly uncomfortable with this. So let me switch it up. Let me ask them what they want. How I should switch it up. So this person should be checking in with you, and you should try giving this person a note real time. And if they cap an attitude, that's when you're like, oh, I can't.
Well, that was like sex with men for me for so long. Was I feel like I'm someone that orgasms off of clitoral stimulation. I really don't come off of penetration. I'm not like big on penetration at all.
Same.
And so I would be sleeping with men where I would like be like guiding them to do something or trying to just do it myself.
Yeah, you're like, you can put your dick in. That's great, but I need this also.
Literally, like, hit my hand.
Ooh.
Like, I would literally be trying to, like, touch my foot, and he would, like, hit it to the side, like, I got this. And I'm like, you don't
you
got
don't
this.
Got it.
You know.
You
which
don't.
A swordfish dick. Just long and skinny and just fucking poking at me.
I don't understand. Like, it's their ego.
It is. It's the ego.
Yeah. Okay, so his dick is like a ruler energy?
Oh, yeah. But like...
long and skinny.
Yeah.
Like Ben, but in dick form.
So when people ask me, like, do you feel like Nyla is going to hate you? I think of stuff like this in the ass.
Yeah, she's going to be in therapy one day being like, my mom went on a podcast talking about how my dad had a swordfish dick.
Yeah.
Like, I can't come back from that.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult for
her. But she's going to be crying those tears from a condo in Bali.
Right, that's
just
what I was
in the jungle. Yeah. So it's like, win or lose.
Exactly.
I think we have some really good advice for this person.
Yeah.
That was great. Talk to us, final segment, Shelfie. Talk to us about... you as an author, you are an author. Talk to about us what you write. Yeah.
Plug those ebooks, girl.
Of course, yeah. So I first started off with the self-publishing journey of a children's book called Mommy, Can You Wrap Me a Bedtime Story?
It's cute.
Thank you. It was very much just in alignment with what I do online, which is parody rap. So I had a really dope idea. I paired it with like an amazing box launch. I read this book called Uncloned by Audrea Richmond, and it like changed my perspective on marketing. And I just learned so much through that process, and it became like one of my different streams. And so more recently, I've launched a digital product called What I Wish I Knew Before Followers. It's a 38-page ebook that basically teaches people how it is that I monetize on social media. But even more importantly, it gives you kind of like an insight onto my mind and the way that I think about making money online, right?
Yes. So you make it very personal.
Yeah, yeah. And it's workbook format. Like there's guiding questions and there's nitty gritty of like specific programs you could use. So I think it's a great tool for anybody who wants to get into that.
Yeah. No, 100%. I feel like I give actionable steps and like space for people to figure out like what it is that they want to do online, and then tips and tricks for how to make money doing that. Specifically when pertaining to affiliate links, self-publishing a book, having merch, drop shipping, and then most importantly, brand deals. I feel like a lot of my first experiences with like negotiating, I made so many mistakes. And so there's templates in there that you can literally copy and paste, whether you're cold pitching a brand, negotiating a deal, declining something.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just have to decline, but there's a way to do it so that if they do circle back to you or it's an agency that you know, weren't. I used to decline brand deals that I thought were like insulting in the most like angry black woman possible way.
Yeah, like
and
this is a
not
joke.
Even realizing
regards.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You cut off a potential relationship
because a lot of brands nowadays aren't like just brands that one offs. It's agencies that are representing a brand.
Yeah, they're
and
third
so
parties.
Once you get into one person's bad pocket, it could be
you know, you actually
bad.
Just affected could, 20 brand deals.
Yes.
Yeah.
So basically, I put it all together. What I wish I knew for followers, it's everything that I wish I would have known when I was first starting out that I feel like will, for one, just be a good source of like information for people looking to make money on the internet, but also a good sense of like inspiration too.
Yeah. And you got some great ideas in there too. Like for people who are literally looking to get started right now and I've been creating, we've been creating for a really long time. And even I was just like, ooh, you know, every time we meet, I'm like, ooh, the captions, I need this. And it is in your book. Like you're not selling something that you haven't bought yourself.
Well, I think the problem is that people see when like a certain model of something works and then they try to hop on it and they don't deliver like a certain quality to it. Right.
Yeah.
So that's the problem is the reason that I'm comfortable like selling things, how I sell them, when I sell them for what I sell them for is because I buy other people's stuff. And I get people's hesitations because other people's stuff sucks sometimes.
It does.
And you feel like, what did I just spend my money on? And I'm such a prideful person that I, first of all, even though my website is no refunded out, if somebody don't want me to have their money, baby, I'm not going to hold on to nobody's money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I make sure that that is not an experience that I'm having because of how much effort I put into like what I'm putting out into the world, you know? And I feel like it's just like being myself. So I say all the time, like my personality is very much in this. This is an informational book, but I also say fuck and talk about how I used to think I was a crip. Like, but you're going to learn something that was worth the investment at the same time. So
In your yeah. funny personal way. And you know, this is going to happen. I'm claiming it. You got to put this together in like an actual like teaching course.
I know.
Like a 6 or 8 week series.
I'm gonna get in
Costa Rica, settle down.
That's the plan. I think once I'm there, also like I'll be able to schedule work in a way that feels like less daunting. Like I feel like even if just on Fridays I get a sitter and I go somewhere and I create all day Friday. And
yes,
like
week
it.
One content yeah, strategy, week exactly. two monetization, and people would sign up for that course. Like yeah, ASAP. You
gonna,
know they would.
I'm gonna get this together. You've been inspiring me, girl.
I
just
got you.
Did my content buckets. I finally journaled that out, and now I feel more confident about like what I'm creating, you know? So you've been giving me like really good ideas. Like I was going to do a TikTok and then I looked, I said, this has nothing to do with the buckets.
I'm telling you.
This yeah. has nothing to do with the buckets.
Just
why?
Can you explain I'd be hyper-focused. The bucket thing. Yeah.
Yes, I will. This, what I'm really saying is Jessica and I will both be teaching a course one day. If you see us on the internet teaching a course, know something fell through and we were like, this is how we're going to get this money.
exactly.
But I essentially live my life by right now thinking about like, what are the three buckets that I have energy for?
Yeah.
Maybe it's like podcasting and hosting is one bucket, comedy, all things comedy, and then passive income might be another bucket. So if I'm spending time and energy on something that is not for comedy, that is not for sharpening my host skills, and that is not passively making money, that it just doesn't need to go.
Right.
It doesn't fit. Because you can get so... And you can make TikToks that have nothing to do with nothing. And if they're comedy, if they're cool, if they're on the brand, but sometimes you'll find yourself working with a brand and you're like, this doesn't even match my other two buckets. Like, this is... You
it's
know, Ben hates when I say no sometimes, but Ben, where could I authentically push this product? I can't.
Yeah, it's being, it don't being work. True to your brand, for sure.
Yeah, you got to say no to some people.
Yep. And my ebook has a template for how to do that.
That's right. Well, Jessica, this has been a pleasure.
Thanks
I can't
for
believe
having me.
You're going to be in another country and
I know.
I'm not going to be
single
able to.
Because of this podcast episode.
Listen, I will push this podcast back to there make sure it happens after your Costa Rica drop. Do you think she's going to listen to the show?
I don't know.
We're good. She's
We're
fine.
Good. Yeah, she doesn't even listen to my show. But I think I'm just like, I'm not tripping. I don't give a fuck. I'm talking about having a pimp on the internet. I don't care what I say on
if
the internet.
If you want to hear Jessica bashing her partner and talking about pimps on the internet, please listen to her podcast, She Really Had a Baby. Make sure you go buy the book, What I Knew Before Followers, and post this as well.
Yeah, post this like content ideas.
And the Rap Children's book as well. She's got a lot of things. We're going to put everything in the episode notes.
They can follow you on social media, right?
Yeah, make sure you tap in with me. My Instagram and my TikTok is at This Is Jessica Rose. So follow me. You know, an emotional roller coaster. So,
which is why you ended up on my algorithm. You ended up on my algorithm. That makes sense. Thank y'all so much for listening to Fly on the Wallet. We will see y'all next week. Bye, friends.
Bye.
You know they're from TikTok because those laughs keep you coming because they're wilding all the time. Before wild throws a tantrum, listen to our silly anthem because they're wilding all the time. Don't swap while Amber squats and does her dance to please her plants. And Ben reads books while serving looks. Wild is wilding all the time. Fly, fly, oh, to be a fly. Fly, fly, come and be a fly on the wall. Leave.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.